listening to Football in Europe, the weekly podcast covering the game across the continent.
Hello and welcome to Football in Europe. I'm your host, Rob Daly, and this is your weekly European football podcast. It was a big weekend of cup football across the continent. Borussia Dortmund, Barcelona, PSG and Benfica all picked up silverware. For a comprehensive roundup of the week and the season, download Trans Europe Express. I was alongside Danny Kelly and Andy Brassel on TalkSport on Sunday night for a three-hour look back at 2016-17. We also talk about Francesco Totti's emotional farewell with Roma at the weekend as they confirmed Champions League group stage qualification with a late win. The show was great fun, so search for that on iTunes. But on Football in Europe this week, we've done something a bit different. It's something we've actually done before on the show. It is our European team of the season. My regular co-host Chris and I pick our 11s for the season. A big thanks to everyone who sent their team into us as well on Twitter, including the likes of Tommy Cheatham, Jamie Donnelly, Jonathan Stephen, and many more. Head to at FIE Podcast to see those and join in the debate. But here are our teams of the season for 2016-17.
For more, head to the website footballineurope.co.uk.
Chris Parrott is with me for our team of the season, European team of the season. Chris Parrott, hello.
Hello. We're at the end of the season already.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. What are we going to do for the next couple of months?
I don't know. Top up the tan.
Top up the tan, you know us.
So, Chris, we're going through our European team of the season. Now, we don't really... This is just a bit of fun, and we just pick players a lot of the time that we like. For example, I almost had Quincy Promes of Spartak in my team of the season for this year, but didn't go with him, because obviously there have been better players. But that's the idea, that we try and find players who've really performed well and put them into our team. So
yeah, I mean, look, it's impossible to pick 11 players and be absolutely right.
Actually, this is a waste
of
time.
And I've gone for players that I've seen more of. There's no way you can see every single league every week. So I've gone for guys that I've seen. And for me, the main criteria is how important they've been for their club. And all of my players play for teams who have had very successful seasons.
Okay, that's good. And does your formation work this time?
It does.
Of the time you do some apps.
No, I'm happy with mine. I've gone 4-4-2.
Yeah, I've gone... Oh, no, I haven't. I've gone 4-3-3.
Go. Yeah, I'm a big... 4-4-2 is going to be... we'll talk about cyclical stuff last year. It's going to be back in vogue at some stage. It's 3-5-2 now because of
Chris,
Conte.
I'll tell you what, it's already happening. 4-4-2 has made a comeback. Okay,
England will still play the Spanish way of the of the early 2010s when everyone else is playing two up front.
Everyone's beyond that, exactly. Okay, so in goal, I can see your notes there. We've gone for the same goalkeeper.
Have we?
Gone for Gigi Buffon.
So have I.
I almost went for Jan Oblak with another brilliant season in Spain.
Yeah.
But Gigi Buffon... why did you pick Juve's number one?
I think he's been a magnificent performer. Think of some big moments, like when he made that save against Lyon. This is in the Champions League. But also in Serie A, he's been magnificent. He turned 39 in January. He doesn't seem to age. Integral to Juve's domestic double. Can he win the Champions League for the first time in Cardiff? I think it would be apt if he did. He's been so brilliant. And also, he is an absolute colossal presence for Juve. Not just his saves, but he has such a reassuring, calming presence to everybody. And I am sure that is one of the reasons that Juve are so good defensively. I mean, in front of him. Because if you know you've got Buffon, you can go out and just concentrate on what you have to do.
Juve, of course, gearing up for their Champions League final against Real Madrid. Buffon has... at times been rested this season, but he still played 30 of Juve's league games. A remarkable campaign for Juve, full stop. So many clean sheets, so many great days in the Champions League as well. I think that was part of the reason that really, I mean, I had to go with Buffon for this one. I can't remember who I picked last season. I might have actually picked Oblak, but 26 goals conceded in 37 games by Juve. Buffon's played most of them. Excellent. Okay, four at the back, Chris.
Yeah, should we go over fullbacks first?
Yes.
Okay, my fullbacks are, first of all, Serie A. Both are in Serie A, actually. Andrea Conti from Atalanta, who is as an attacking fullback as you will see, wing-back often, scored 8 goals for Atalanta. Now, give me a fullback that scored more goals this season than that. in Serie A.
James Milner. Oh, no. James Milner might have actually done that from the penalty spot.
Only he'd beaten Fraser Forster in that game the other week. Atlanta have quietly had an extremely impressive season. They're going to return to European football for the first time in 26 years. And he's been a massive part of that. And my left back is going to be Alexandro, another Juve player. Look, I've gone with three defenders, if you like, but look, it's Italian football. They're the masters of defending still. And I think whilst you probably heard more of Bonucci and Chiellini and Dani Alves, Alexandro has been outstanding. I think he's created almost 50 chances in Serie A this season.
That is staggering.
Which is staggering. And he's played, apart from Bonucci, more than any other Juve defender.
Well, that's probably why Patrice Evra looked at him. He was like, maybe it's time to leave. Okay, my fullbacks. I've actually gone for Dani Alves. Now, I think he's played not even half of the league games for Juventus this season. Certainly has been rotated, but I think they've done it because they've tried to save him for the big occasion. And I think, you know, his performances in the Champions League.
Just plug in your Mac there.
My laptop was about to die.
Other laptops are available.
Oh, yeah. That his performances in the Champions League have been so good, especially against Monaco and also against Barcelona, that exposed that Barcelona made a big mistake letting him go. So I've gone for Dani Alves. By the way, Conte, who Chris mentioned there, linked with Chelsea, Inter, who've got bucket loads of money, and Liverpool as well, all sides looking for fullbacks.
Always the problem when you are a smaller team and have a very good season, isn't it?
Your talent gets picked off time and time again. But you may, if Premier League comes and get a stupid amount of money.
Imagine just owners are like, Premier League are interested. Yeah, okay.
Well, do you remember Babar Rahman, who Chelsea signed from Augsburg? I was talking to someone the other day, the 18 million that Chelsea paid, because he's on loan at Schalke, has been injured, was Augsburg's financial budget for a whole year.
Yeah.
Everything, £18 million. So, you know. And on the other side, I have gone for Benjamin Mendy. I loved his performances in the Champions League this year for Monaco at left back. He's been linked with the Premier League as well. Great runs forward, making chances. He destroyed Manchester City. He caused so many problems in the many stages of the competition. And Borussia Dortmund hated playing against him as well. He was absolutely fantastic. So I've gone for Mendy, Alves and Buffon so far. At centre back, I've got another Juve player. I've just realised that.
Have you? I've got a Monaco player.
Go on.
He's big. He's Polish. He used to play for
Torino. Kamil Glik.
He's Kamil Glik. That's not.
I tell you what, he was an absolute monster though against Juve. I mean, he was so aggressive. Higuain said he was a disgrace or something.
Yeah, well, that was the only time when I watched him, and it felt like Monaco said, "We're going out. Let's just
do some damage."
Kick them, basically. And fortunately, no Juve players did get injured for the final.
No.
But beyond that, I think he's been an absolute warrior. How Monaco pipped teams playing in bigger leagues. I know they have a sizable budget, but he was outstanding for Poland at Euro. I'm really surprised that he went to Monaco, actually. I think he could have done a terrific job for a Premier League side or for one of the big boys in Spain, frankly. For all their attacking prowess, Monaco, which we'll speak about later, they only conceded 31 goals in 38 league games.
That is impressive,
isn't
it?
Which, given they are set up to attack, is impressive. I think he's been excellent, and Monaco's young guns have needed wise old heads. Falcao is one at the other end of the pitch. I think Glik has been an absolute warrior. And my second centre-back is from Germany, Niklas Süle from Hoffenheim, who I think has been key in why they finish in the Champions League places. And Bayern clearly fancied him because they've come in and signed him.
They certainly have, for €25 million, a deal to 2022. Seen a lot of Süle this season. I mean, he's an absolute beast. He also has a brilliant long-range shot on him and a major threat, goal scoring from set pieces. And I think I've seen Rafa Honigstein say previously that he is Germany's next centre-back. And next year, Bayern will have Martinez, Boateng, Hummels and Süle.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable four centre-backs. I was weighing up between Bonucci and Chiellini, and I've got Chiellini written down, but I have to go with Bonucci because I think Bonucci actually, over the past year or so, has established himself as the best centre-back around. He scored in the Coppa Italia final. He had a minor fallout with Allegri this season. But I just think he's an absolute colossus. You know, 6 or 7 years now at Juve. If they win the Champions League, I suspect he'll look for a new challenge. And I'm sure, you know, he said some interesting things about working with Antonio Conte. He said he was very much the carrot and the stick guy. And I don't know if Bonucci loved working under Conte, even though he definitely improved him. But I've got to go with Bonucci, who scored key goals in the Champions League as well, I think, back to Sevilla in the group stage.
Yeah.
So I've gone Alves, Zula, Bonucci and Benjamin Mendy.
Oh, you've gone Zula as well?
Yeah, I've gone Zula as well.
Do you know, I had a quick look around. Most touches of any defender in the Bundesliga too, which going to a team like Bayern, we look at that sort of, you know, guy who's comfortable with the ball at his feet, yeah, which you have to be now as a modern-day defender.
What's interesting about watching Zula this season for Hoffenheim is that they're not always played out from the back. Nagelsmann, that's plan A.
Yeah.
But Hoffenheim have had two huge centre-forwards in Sandro Wagner, they've got Adam Saloy, and they've got Andre Kramaric, the former Leicester City player. And they will go long. If you press them from a goal kick, you know when that happens, the central defenders are man-marked, they will ping it and Zula will ping it. And he also played alongside Sebastian Rudy this season, who's joining Bayern with him. Let's move on to midfield. Chris, who are your... You've gone 4-4-2, so you've got four midfielders. Who've got in the middle of the park?
Yeah, well, first of all, honourable mention to Naby Keita for Leipzig, who I think was outstanding.
Have
you?
Yeah,
One of these stories, I'll let you speak about Leipzig, whatever people think about behind the scenes. Two central midfielders are a Real Madrid duo. Luka Modric didn't make the cut. He was very close to. I've gone with Casemiro and Toni Kroos. I think Kroos makes Real Madrid tick. 12 assists. I think that's the second most in La Liga. Albeit he takes corners, I know.
I think behind Suarez or someone.
Yeah,
like
behind
Messi
Suarez.
Or someone,
yeah,
probably.
Might have been Neymar.
Maybe Neymar. Yeah,
but I think he's outstanding, and he enables Real Madrid to dominate games. And Casemiro, look, there's. It was one of Zinedine Zidane's first things that he did that he made Casemiro a major player. And you look across the globe at the best defensive central midfielders who enabled teams to really work in terms of balance and forward players to get on the ball. I think Casemiro, along with N'Golo Kante, is the very best. I think he's been absolutely outstanding. Key to Real Madrid's first league title in 5 years and key to them reaching now back-to-back Champions League finals.
We should mention as well, no Premier League players in this team, because I think I probably would have Kante and I might even have Harry Kane after what he did in the last stage of the season. Okay, so there's your two central midfield players. I have gone for Naby Keita, having seen a lot of Leipzig this season. And you could tell straight away, they got him from Red Bull Salzburg and we're still waiting to see what happens between the Red Bull Leipzig, Red Bull Salzburg and UEFA competition.
Because they can't both be in it.
Well, exactly. I think they've shifted the ownership model around to try and circumnavigate it a little bit. So Keita...
I'd love to be in those board meetings.
I know. How do we do this? So Keita, driving midfield presence. He's a bit more attacking-minded than Kante. But tenacious, wins the ball, quick. He'll also dribble. But we've seen Kante do that, you're sure, haven't we, for Chelsea? I think the comparisons between the pair are inevitable. And that's why I've gone for him. I haven't seen enough of Serie at Nice. I haven't seen enough of French football to put him in because I know a lot of people will be screaming at saying he should be in that side. I have gone for Thiago. I've got a full Bundesliga midfield here. I've gone for Thiago. His best ever season for me. His ability to create chances, to score goals, to perform in the big games. When we think back to the Champions League this season, the way he tore apart Arsenal as well in the round of 16. I think he's, you know, I actually think maybe Thiago has been their best player this season. And you know, Lewandowski might have something to say about that after 30 league goals. But fully fit Thiago, and you might have one of the top two or three central midfield players in Europe, I think.
Yeah, which again, you've mentioned two players there who Barcelona fans will probably be screaming at the podcast. How on earth do we let both of them go? I think this season, Dani Alves is getting on. He would be their right back. And Thiago, if they could sign the perfect midfielder.
It's the guy they had. I think they probably looked at it and went, Fabregas is the one we're looking at.
Well, I think they should always have realised that. I mean, Thiago's injuries, but I'm not sure Fabregas is the very, very top level that Barcelona need. in midfield. Yeah.
No, I agree. Well, they let him go.
They let him go.
So I've gone for a three-man midfield because my number 10 position is Emil Forsberg, completing my full Bundesliga midfield. 8 goals, 19 assists in 30 league games this season. 25-year-old Swedish international.
An obscene amount of assists.
19 assists is absurd.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
He's got a great relationship, not only with Keita, but with Timo Werner, the centre-forward. Forsberg is also really the talisman for Sweden now that Ibrahimovic has gone. Yeah. I watched Sweden play recently, and he was very much the leader figure. Silky in possession, will wait to pass perfectly, can cross the ball as well. He's the player, him and Keita, they're the two that Leipzig will struggle to hold on to ahead of the Champions League next season. Let's have your wingers, Chris.
I've gone with Bernardo Silva.
How did I not pick Bernardo Silva?
I love watching him play.
He is...
9 goals tells half the story. Just that he's so good to watch. He's so good on the ball. He can play in a variety of positions.
He has that low centre of gravity as well, doesn't he? Yeah, where he doesn't get knocked over.
His dribbling is immense. He's also a very intelligent, articulate player. Not that you have to be to get in my team of the season, but...
You're not a snob, are you?
No, I'm not a snob, mate.
You've got some absolute bruises in there. But didn't you interview Bernardo Silva a couple of years ago at the Euros? The
under-21s, where he was the best player. Portugal somehow lost to Sweden, still not sure how. But I think he's so gifted. And Monaco, I had to get in a Monaco midfielder because they've just been... It's been so good to watch. My other one is Quincy Promes from Spartak.
Oh, you've put Promes in. I had him there and I've crossed him out. Yeah. You'll see the changes.
So this is my criteria. If anyone, there are plenty, and you've mentioned Forsberg there, but Spartak, he was absolutely the outstanding player in the Russian Premier League this season. The Spartak won their first title in 16 years. 10 goals, 11 assists. Now, that is 21 direct contributions to a team that scored only 46 times.
And you only play 30 games. I think he's played 26 or something of the games in the league.
Exactly. The amount of times that he was a match winner, I'd like to see how many others have beaten him in terms of, you know, key contributions at big times. He's been absolutely brilliant. He stayed in January, which was a huge deal for Spartak to be able to keep him in January. Because they weren't in European competition, so he would have been the perfect signing for someone.
Yeah.
I'd be very shocked if he stayed at Spartak and in Russian football this summer. Where he goes will be interesting. I'd love to see him, because Spartak are going to be in the Champions League. I'd love to see him go to a Champions League team, Dutch international, and move to the Premier League, I think seems maybe the logical next step.
Yeah, he needs to test himself, doesn't he, ahead of the if the Dutch get there.
Yeah, and I think generally he probably does need to test himself in a more competitive league. If he goes to England, though, would he go to a Champions League side? I'm not sure. I can see him at Everton. I could just picture it.
I can see him at Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
I think Spartak's general manager, I saw some quotes from him at the very recently saying that he was asked specifically Liverpool about Quincy Promes. And he said he didn't mention Liverpool back, but he says the English Premier League is the logical place for Quincy to go next because financially.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's on great wages at Spartak. Yeah. I don't doubt that. But they're the clubs who can pay the fee. Okay, so Chris, great team so far. No real red herrings.
I know. Well,
sometimes you produce an absolute stinker.
What? Well, no, that's what only because I chose 11 players and then didn't pick Andy Carroll that one for the England
Euro. Oh, God, the Andy Carroll stuff. That's very nice.
He's one of my two strikers.
Okay. So I've got three up front. That leaves you with two.
Yes.
So who did you go for?
Another honourable mention, Kylian Mbappe, he is only 18 and he only turned 18 in December.
I've not heard of him.
Have you not? He plays for Nice. Oh, no.
Chris, I have Kylian Mbappe.
Do you?
Yeah.
24 goals, club and country. He was 17 for half the season.
He didn't start a Champions League game until the first leg against Manchester City in the round of 16. 6 goals in 6 in the knockout stages. Finished the campaign with 15 league goals, only starting 17 games as he wasn't really in the team at the start of the season. The links with Real Madrid are evident. He idolises Cristiano Ronaldo. There's that great photo of Mbappe with posters of Ronaldo up around his bedroom. It's hard to imagine someone who's an adult now.
I know.
We forget that Ronaldo has been around that amount of time.
But then we forget that 5 years ago, Kylian Mbappe was had just turned 13.
Oh, yeah. Oh, who was it? It was in the last World Cup, the Euro squad for England. who said that their first tournament they could remember was
Rashford, maybe?
2010.
I know.
The 2010 World Cup. No, not Rushford. They went to the Euros. I forget who that was. Stuff like that absolutely freaks me out. And yeah. Mbappe, I mean, he's just owning it, isn't he? Doesn't look fazed by anything. So I have gone for Mbappe.
I didn't put him in because I thought over the whole season there were two other guys who I think have been more consistent.
Okay.
Andy
Carroll.
Andy Carroll and Daryl Murphy. first of all, it is... Dries Mertens.
I've got Dries.
Have you?
I've got Dries.
He's
a wide man in my front three, but you've got him as a centre forward, as he has been for Napoli this season.
Exactly. Will he be their main man next season? Maurizio Sarri has a decision to make. But look, they sold Higuain. They brought in Milik, who then got a dreadful injury. Manolo Gabbiadini wasn't cutting it. So Mertens was sort of given the chance to be the main centre forward. And my word, I mean, almost 40 goals for club and country. Fourth season in Naples. Before this one, his best tally had been 11 goals in Serie A. Just been immense for them. And the main parts, along with, you know, him, Insigne and Hamsik are wonderful. And again, like Monaco, I had to get a Napoli attacker in because they are one of the great attacking teams.
You've gone for Cavani? Oh, no, sorry.
No. So,
my brain broke.
Mertens.
It's Mertens. Who's your other forward?
My other forward. Hang on. You give your forwards because then we're going to have a discussion.
Okay, so I've got Mertens. Honourable mentions for Cavani. You haven't gone Cavani, have you? You went for him in your team at the midway point in the season. But look at his figures.
I know.
8 in the Champions League, 35 in 36 in the league, 4 in the Coupe de Ligue, and 2 in the French Cup, having only played twice. And he got a couple for Uruguay this year. He must be 51 goals for the season. Club and country, unbelievable. Honourable mention for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, top scorer in the Bundesliga with 31 goals. I have gone, along with Mbappe and Mertens, I've gone for Lionel Messi. By far the outstanding goal scorer in Spain this season, way ahead of Ronaldo, way ahead of Luis Suarez. His goal at the end of the Clásico was remarkable. I just can't ignore those figures. And it's tough to ignore Ronaldo given what he did in the Champions League this year and what he has done ahead of the final with Juve. But for Lionel Messi, another sensational goal as well to finish the season against Eibar, I have to go for him. So Mertens, Messi and Mbappe, 3 M's, M&M is my front line. That's better than BBC, isn't it? I hate BBC.
You'll be done for copyright though. do you know, so this is funny. We genuinely didn't know our teams before we did this.
Have you gone for Messi?
No, I've gone for Ronaldo.
Have you really?
Yeah. and this isn't because we're like, oh, you know, the figures are there. If he has been, for me, it's not how many goals you score, it's when you score them.
And he's a striker now, Chris.
He is
big
very much
number 9.
A striker. And that is one of the reasons that he is in my team, because he's reached the age of 32 and he's had to change the way... He's had to change his role. He's no longer this marauding forward. He's a striker who stands in or around the edge of the box and scores goals. And my word, does he score when it matters. Celta Vigo, Malaga away in the final week when it looked like they had two difficult games. Champions League.
Hat-tricks against Bayern.
Hat-tricks against Bayern and Atletico.
Yeah.
Lionel Messi wasn't able in the Champions League to produce that type of goal-scoring form. And for me... Ronaldo will make it. And many people, if we just said, oh, one had Ronaldo, the other had Messi, but we often
don't
pick them.
No, we genuinely didn't. But we both had Dries Mertens.
We did both have Dries Mertens.
Okay, Chris, quick one, just the name only. Head coach of the season.
Head coach of the season.
I'm going to go for Leonardo Jardim.
Are you? That was going to be my second choice.
I even liked that he threw the French Cup semi-final playing
a
Rizzi's.
Did you see as well he had face paint on for their last game?
Did he?
Like he's at school fate. I just like the idea of someone in the thing of those two things. But it has to be Allegri.
Okay. And he might have a Champions League title.
Should we very quickly go through our teams?
Chris, we don't have time. We've got... We do have time for that.
The whole podcast. 4-4-2, Buffon in goal. My defenders are Nicolas Sula, Kamil Glick, Conti and Alexandro. My midfield, 4, Bernardo Silva, Casemiro, Toni Kroos and Quincy Promise. My strikers, Dries Mertens, CR7.
4, I hate that CR7. 4-4-3, Buffon, Alves, Zula, Bonucci, Mendy, Keita, Forsberg, Thiago, Mertens, Messi and Mbappe. Everyone, thank you very much for listening this season. Chris, hasn't it been a pleasure?
It's been an absolute pleasure. We're going to go and play FIFA and pick those two teams now.
See
who wins.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, isn't it?
Let's go do that.
Okay.
At FIE Podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. We may be dropping some podcasts out over the summer, but thank you very much for joining us this season.
This is Football in Europe.